talks here. The first one is by Manish Raju and Subrao from Arizona State. Subrao is a professor at ASU, and he is an AI guy, and in his spare time he does databases. He tells me this is the first time he's actually presenting a talk at a database conference. But he has a lot of papers actually in database conference. The students are being presenting it. So we look forward to the very first DB talk.
Thank you very much. So as you can see, I guess this is Manish, who should really be giving this talk if he wasn't making his money in Amazon. And this is Raju Balakrishnan, whose work he extended on, that I'm going to talk a little bit about. Neither of them are here, so you get to hear from me. I got here at 3 a.m. this morning, and so I'm not really sure how far I'll actually be able to carry out this talk. But then I was very happy that this morning audience gave half of the talk for the keynote speaker. So I'm hoping that the audience will give half of my talk too, so that I would only have to do half of the work. Anyway, the talk here is the topic sensitive source rank, which I'll give you a minute of. Oh, really? I'm going to do that, okay. Is this okay now? Okay. This is pretty much the jazziest hall I've ever been in, because there are four of these projectors, so I'm not really sure which one you're watching. Anyway, so the topic sensitive source rank, the general setting that we are looking at essentially is supporting search on deep web sources. So the assumption is that there are a lot of structured or semi-structured sources that are available on the web. The holy grail here is we're trying to think of a mediator which will provide one single source of entry for queries, and then it will have to reformulate and select the sources, and then take the access restrictions of the sources into account, and call the sources with those queries, and then collate the results and return the results to you. So that's the basic idea. Of course, in doing this, there's like a treasure trove of problems, research problems that have to be worked on. Some of which are here. Some of the challenges are here. These are all autonomous sources. You have no control over them. These are not curated. They are oftentimes adversarial in the sense they're actually very interested in giving misinformation, because you're not paying for it. There's also many of them provide information about many different kinds of topics. It's not a source that's just for one particular topic. And then finally, as I mentioned earlier, they may also have access restrictions. You can't directly send any possible fully relational query to those sources. So among these, one big issue that we were interested in is the quality of the sources. If there are so many sources, let's say you're asking a question about some, a movie related information, everybody can put up a website and then start exporting movie related information, and nobody is actually out there to stop you from making up information. You can say Woody Allen actually directed The Godfather, and you'll be fine. Nobody is going to find you. So the real question is, if there are so many sources that are available, which of them have higher quality, so that you can pick those, and then if there's a movie related question, you send the question to those sources rather than to everybody else. Okay, that's the basic idea. As I am saying this, you're thinking about, isn't that a similar problem in a general surface web search, where if I ask a query, which page should I be picking? There are many, many pages with those words. Which one is the right page? Yes, that's exactly the similar problem, except now you're doing it at the source level. So a source will have a large amount of data, and you're trying to figure out which of them is worth calling. Now, another point there is, if you're thinking in terms of the page idea, if you remember, obviously several of you probably know that link-based analysis, the endorsement structure between the pages, can be used to decide sort of, which seems to be the more important page. Well, we could try to do that for the sources too, except sources don't put links to each other. Okay, so in some sense, the challenge is, so basically the first problem that we are looking at is, you have these uncontrolled, uncurated, and adversarial sources, and you need to figure out the source quality, and so we did some work, that's sort of the beginnings of this. This is the background of this today's work, which kind of generalized the idea of link-based endorsement structure between pages to sources, so that you sort of realize that when sources provide the same answers, same kinds of answers to some queries, so they are implicitly agreeing with each other, and that agreement is a kind of an implicit indirect endorsement. Okay. So that stuff actually got published, but you know, I'm just going to give you a background on that because today's talk is an extension on that work. So you need to know a little about that. Okay, so basically this is just saying, if you don't believe me, that if you actually ask queries to web sources, they can give you either irrelevant information or in fact made up information for the queries that you have. And so what we are interested in is using the agreement structure between the sources. So the idea is, if given a set of samples, set of queries to these sources, if source one and source three, source one and source three seem to be agreeing on a fraction of the answers, then in some sense they are sort of endorsing each other. Okay. And of course, the first thing that people tend to think of when they look at this picture is, if you agree, shouldn't the agreement be bidirectional and equal? In this case, actually, the agreement here is 0.78, this is 0.86. Because here we essentially normalize it in terms of the agreement, number of results you are agreeing with source one divided by the number of results you actually send. So that's how you get that asymmetry. Okay, so this is an interesting enough, this is a simple enough idea to grasp. So you have essentially an indirect link structure that sources have. You know, there is no hyperlinks, but they, by agreeing on query answers, they are kind of endorsing each other. And if you look at this graph, you can use this graph and you can think of this as the basis for your random walk and in the page walk, page rank parlance. And you can talk about the stationary distribution of the probabilities on that Markov chain, and that will give you an idea of the importance of the source. Okay, this was our idea. Now, of course, doing this actually gives rise to a whole bunch of database-y challenges, one of which basically is that, on the deep web, essentially, there are no fully relational databases that all agree upon a single schema, right? So they're all actually providing pseudo-English or pseudo-Hindi versions of these tuples. And so here there is a tuple saying Godfather, the Kapoor registration, James, blah, 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 and 999. And in fact, by the way, even the segmentation I put there, normally you don't have the segmentation. So you have a record here, you have another record here, and you're trying to see whether those two records agree with each other. And so, in fact, figuring out that agreement itself is a challenge. You know, we had to deal with that. We dealt with that. I won't tell you how. You know, you can go back and read the World Wide Web 2011 paper. That was one of the challenges that had to be dealt with. The other challenge that had to be dealt with is that if you agree too much, you might actually be colluding. Okay, so you can become two copies of yourself, and of course you'll agree with each other. And this is a usual problem with page rank sort of scenarios too. And so you have to deal with the source collusion, and we had some interesting ideas about how to differentiate normal agreement from collusion-based agreement, and we use that too. Okay, so those were done, and that actually was sort of implemented as a prototype system by Raju, who is the second author on this paper, and it was also presented in Hyderabad in April. He did that, thankfully I didn't have to do it. And then, I think before that he had a Best Poster Award in World Wide Web 2010. So that's the background for this paper. Now, what this paper does is Manish, who came after Raju, and who actually, Raju is a PhD student, Manish is an MS student, and he just completed his thesis, and his thesis was asking the question, well, you are generally, the way this system works is it's giving one single measure of importance for every source. Okay? So you are sort of assuming that you have the same measure of importance for movies or or books or whatever. Okay? This is again a usual issue, and I don't know how many of you, I know there are academicians, Sudarshan is there and other people are there. Google Scholar has started putting the citation link about people, if Tim Berners-Lee ever says databases is one of his interests, suddenly you would think that Tim Berners-Lee is also an expert on databases. Because why? The number of citations doesn't tell you that, you know, most of his citations are from that Semantic Web and a couple of other articles, and that in fact Sudarshan might know a lot more about databases than Tim Berners-Lee. And so there's a topic-specific nature of the importance that, you know, you need to consider into account, take into account. So that was what we were interested in saying, how much is an, how important is it to take the topic-specific nature of the importance itself. Now, again, in the surface web too, this was an issue. What happens normally is, you know, when you are ranking results, you take similarity to the query and the source importance, and you somehow hope that the similarity to the query captures the query specificity, and the importance captures just the general importance. And that somehow, even though that's not query-specific importance, you might be able to get by. But really, if you take very specific importance into account, you should, in theory, do well. In theory, okay, this is a big issue. In this general area, which I hope I see a lot of students, at least people who look like students, not as old as me, and I think in this area, there is this issue that ideas are easy to come with, but you better be sure of your idea, that you're going to be happy with your idea when you are actually trying to evaluate it. Because evaluation turns out to be the hardest issue. Okay, so you better like your idea for 6 or 8 or, you know, 12 months when you have to go through this evaluation. Anyway, so we were interested in seeing whether this is actually going to be able to, you know, taking the query specificity of source importance is going to make a difference in practice. Okay, so to put that again in perspective, so, you know, this is the old picture, and, you know, there was a whole bunch of web databases. What we were saying, really, is there are different topics. This is a movie topic. These are some sources which are about movie topics. Some sources are about book topics. But then there is this source, like maybe Amazon, which has information about movies, also has information about books. Okay? And then you have music, and you have cameras, and so on. So basically, there's this notion of multiple different topics, and sources are, you know, having expertise in different topics, just as Tim Berners-Lee hopefully has, you know, expertise on something other than World Wide Web 2, but probably not anywhere near the expertise of Turing Award-winning database scholars in database theory, right? So the question is, if it's a query about databases, you should still find the right database researcher. And similarly, if it's a question about books, maybe you want to find the source that has high importance from the book's point of view. Okay, this is what this is saying. So Barnes & Noble might have high importance from, for books, it's an online bookstore, and may not be having as important, as an high an importance, trustworthiness in terms of movies. Okay, and so this one is just basically saying, this Tim Berners-Lee example too, that, you know, then if you don't distinguish the topics, then you can get the wrong information. So ideally, really, the importance of a source should depend upon the actual query that is asked. But then that's too hard. There's just way too many queries. And especially once you get the query, you have very little time left before you give the answer. And so if you're actually trying to compute the source importance after the query is given, you're dead. Okay? So what you need to do then is a sort of a latent space, which sort of is common for queries on one hand and sources on the other hand. And this latent space is topics. So we just assume that there is something called topics. And so the sources essentially are providing expertise in multiple topics. And a query is not a single topic. A query sometimes may not be about exactly a single topic. So it might, again, be a vector in the space of topics. And the question then would be, how would you combine them? Again, ideas like this were used in surface web scenarios. The question is how to make them work and whether we could make them work and evaluate them in the case of web sources. That's what Manish was interested in doing. And so his interest was, again, this is, as I said, an extension of prior work by Raju on the source rank. And so he's interested in computing topic-specific source ranks, and then given a query, you need to identify its topic vector automatically at the runtime, and then so now you have each source now has multiple possible ranks. You know, for this topic my rank is this, but this topic my rank is this, and then you're now trying to combine them. Okay, so identifying the query topic and combining the topic sensitive source rank, you know, using this query topic vector. So those are the challenges. Again, it's a reasonably straightforward idea in terms of putting these together, but then what we'll spend time also is what it took for poor Manish to actually evaluate them in terms of, you know, showing that this will work in a, you know, a reasonably realistic scenario. Okay, so the system that he built is essentially this big thing. And so again, you know, you have this web sources with, you know, the assumption of that they're crossing topics, they're multiple topic expertise. And then in this, you know, we'll go through pieces a little later, but in essence, this part is computing multiple source ranks for each source, you know, corresponding to, you know, say if you're thinking in terms of K topics, you're considering K different source ranks. And then when you get a query, you need to classify the query into the topics that it falls into. That has to be done online. Okay, this part is done offline before the query comes, so you have a lot of time. This one is done online, and to be able to do this, essentially, he uses a naive-based classifier. You know, you can use any type of a classification technique, but the one that he used is naive-based classifier, for which it needs to train itself on what words seem to occur in what kinds of topics, and then use that to figure out, you know, given the words that are occurring in the query, what might be its fractional membership in the different topics. Okay. Now, once you've got that, in essence, you kind of you select the sources by doing the weighted for each source. Its effective rank becomes the weighted summation of the query fractional membership in different classes times the source rank in each of those topics. Okay. And then use that to get top K sources. And you then call them, you get the results from them, and then you display them to the user. So that's the basic overall system. And again, remember that since what the user sees are the results that are displayed, the precision and recall, I mean the quality of the overall system has to be decided not in terms of which sources you picked, but in terms of what results got shown. If you showed good results, you know, you're fine. If not, you're in trouble. Okay, so eventually the experimentation also looks into the results that are displayed and whether or not they're actually trustworthy results. Okay, so anyway, that's the overall system, and then I'm going to spend. You can tell me when, how much. Okay, I'm going to spend a little time on this part, and then talk more about the experimentation that he did. Okay, so like this part essentially is from here. Okay, so he's trying to compute multiple source ranks, one for each topic. So the idea again is in the normal source rank paper that Raju did, he comes up with a bunch of sample queries, and he sends them to the sources and computes their agreement on those sample queries, and then he computes the agreement graph. And once you compute the agreement graph, then essentially it's a Markov chain. You can view that as a Markov chain and get the stationary distribution. Here you get k different agreement graphs, one for each topic. So for example, in this case, Amazon and Family Video apparently are agreeing quite well on movies, but they're agreeing not so well on the books. Which should not be surprising, you know, because Family Video is a movie store mostly, and Amazon is both books and movies. Yes.
And the topics are predefined.
Yes, in this case, yes. Okay. Then the other issue. So having computed the k different source ranks. Here, the agreement graph, then you can compute the source ranks, k different source ranks, as the stationary distributions on them. Okay. Again, I'm just assuming that you would know how to do the stationary distribution on a Markov chain, which is what PageRank does anyway. The one thing to do, I mean, some technical details, some actual implementational technical details in making this happen is you now need sampling queries that are directed towards separate topics, not just, you know, uniformly distributed sampling queries. So that is a fair bit of making sure that you generate the right kind of sampling queries. The paper actually has details on how the sampling queries are generated for, you know, the topics. And then once you have that, you have a biased agreement graph, and then essentially you're computing random walk on those graphs, stationary distribution of the random walk that graph. Okay. This is actually a little more detail on how the sampling queries are generated. He winds up using some basically the pre-existing general purpose directories like DMOS to decide what words seem to occur in what topics. Okay. So there is again more details on that in the paper. I won't be able to go into it right now. That's regarding generation of the source ranks. The second issue, as I said, is the computing the query. Once the query comes, you need to compute the fractional membership of the query in the various topics, and also combine them with the source rank, which is not that hard. I think that's basically a weighted summation. Now, computing the query topic, so in essence, as you probably got from my wild gesticulations a while back, each source might now have multiple source ranks. So, for example, here for the topic, the topics I have are camera, books, movies, and music, and a source might have a 0, a 0.3, and a 0.6, and a 0.1. You know, so it has different types of importance for each of them. Okay. So it's sort of you want a soft classification of a query into different topics. Okay. So I'm sorry. This is for the query itself. So each query then falls into multiple possible topics. And then you're trying to classify that. To do that, you need training data. You need to say that if, in fact, what words seem to occur with what probabilities in each of the topics. Okay. And to do that, again, he computes the topic descriptions. Again, the details of that are important, but they are mostly in terms of basically, again, going back to pre-existing sites like DMOS, and then getting topic-related words from there automatically. And then once you take that topic description as a bag of words, you consider the query as bag of words, and then you can do naive-based classification on that. Okay, this is just naive-based classification, which most of you probably know. So the classifier essentially says, given the words in the query, it tries to compute an approximate posterior probability of classes. And there are probably quite off, you know, as most of you know, naive-based classification is notoriously bad in terms of the numbers that it comes up with. But that's an approximate soft classification. Normally what you do is you just take the largest value and say that is the class that query belongs to. Right now you're actually going to keep the entire distribution. And so that will give you the queries span over the topics. And then all I'm going to do now for each source, the effective query-specific importance of that source for that query is now going to be a weighted summation of the query, how relevant is that topic to that query, which is given by the query vector, which is given by the topic vector for the query, times how important is the source for that topic, which is given by the topic-sensitive source rank for that topic. Okay, so this will give you the weighted summation. This will give you the effective rank of the source just for that query. So we basically, as I mentioned in the beginning, what you really want to do is look at the query first before deciding who is the expert. But that's just too hard. So here you're getting somewhere close to it by saying query is split into topics, sources are split into topic expertise, and you're combining it. Okay, so you still get an effective query-specific source rank. Okay, so once you have that, you then essentially can use that to select the sources, and as I said, you can send the queries to the sources, get the results, and show to the user. Okay, so that's the basic idea. So I'm pretty much done with what the technical part that you know Manish had to do. Yes. No, I would select K sources, top K sources, and then send the query to all top K sources, and then remove the duplicates and show the results. Okay, of course, the point about duplicates itself is again iffy. Notice that these are sort of semi-structured tuples. Okay, but that's basically what we have in mind. Okay, So you know, again, I think it's a nice enough idea. I think we probably thought about this idea, you know, and that this can be done, and these are the technical details, you know, probably in his first month and a half, 2 months of his MS thesis, and the rest of the time he essentially had to spend trying to show that this idea actually is, you know, it actually can be shown to have an effect. Okay. Again, so to do the experimental setup, so I'll just go through the details. In some sense, you know, as Sudarshan said, I work in AI and databases, and when I first started reading the database papers, I used to think, but that's just a footnote in a IIII paper. And then I realized also that that's because AI people ignore most of the implementational details and somebody else has to deal with them. So it's very important that you do care about it. I still obviously am from AI, so I still think that you better be aware of the, you know, evaluation details that you are getting yourself into when you got an idea like this. So anyway, so what he had to do in this case is he looked at four topics in the setup that he put up, four topics, and he went to Google Base. Google Base is this site where multiple vendors can put their data in pretty much schema-free form. They can make up the schema as they are entering the tuples. And so there, and each tuple essentially comes with its source ID, so you kind of can say which source ID, you know, give me all the tuples from a source ID. You can do that. So in some sense, you can see Google Base as like a large union of many deep web databases. That's one way you can look at it. And so by looking at that and by crawling for these topics, he was able to identify, I think he was able to generate like 1,440 sources with this approximate split, where obviously it's not that everything is just a single expertise, it's just 276 of them seem to be majority camera sources, 556 seem to be majority book tuples. But they all have, you know, connections in the sense they're having information on both topics, multiple topics. Okay, so he went with that, and then he generated for the test queries that he had to, and the sample queries for the agreement calculation. He generated those queries from again pre-existing sources rather than he making up queries. Okay, again, this is an issue for statistical significance. So when he's looking and he's generated queries from all four topics, and now in terms of comparison, you're interested in seeing how topic-specific source rank works, but you're trying to compare it to a whole bunch of other existing systems. One is Qwery, which is just directly relevance-based. Another is Google-based as it stands, and also only on the data sources that he isolated. Okay, what would it have done? And then the third is USR, which is Raju's system, which would have basically said undifferentiated source rank. Every source has one single notion of importance. Okay, and the fourth is domain-specific source rank. This system doesn't exist. This is an oracular system. You know, it assumes that somehow each query comes marked with the topic, and each source comes marked with its primary topic. Okay, and that then you're trying to, you know, see if you can somehow, you know, even compete with this, then you're pretty good. Okay, and if you don't do as well as this, then you're not good. Okay, so that's what you have to keep in mind, and I've been shown that I have only 2 minutes left, so I'm going to skip over a bunch of middle slides. Well, actually only two slides. Okay, so and then these are results that again described more carefully in the paper. So for example, on Qwery, Google Base, just on the data set that he crawled and what he calls topic-specific source rank, which basically, again, remember, it takes similarity plus importance. And the 0.1 here is 0.1 times source rank plus 0.9 times similarity. Okay? Yes? It existed in text collection selection. This is by, I think, I forgot just now, McElhone, I think. Okay? So, and then in this set, he's basically showing that taking source importance helps. That's all this says, because none of the other guys take source importance to account. Okay, the next one, this one shows that taking source importance seems to help in each of the topics, not just overall, but in each of the topics. And the third one shows that it actually taking topic-specific source importance does better than undifferentiated source rank. That's important, because otherwise Raju would say, why are you writing another paper? And then this one actually shows that in fact topic-specific source rank does better than undifferentiated source rank in all the topics. Okay, and then finally this one says that the domain-specific source rank, which is this oracular method, that is sort of, you know, you don't expect to win over it. If you win over it, there's something wrong, you know, with the world. But at least if you come close, that will be okay. And so in this case, he's actually says that again, you know, for his setup, you know, he was able to actually come close to it. Okay. And once again, in various topics too, he was able to be competitive with the oracular method. Okay. So that's basically, you pretty much saw that I spent almost like a third of the slides just on the experimental method. That's why I said earlier that you have to take that part into consideration when you have ideas on these kinds of topics. So the conclusion is we were interested in using source rank and then in particular for this paper, figuring out whether a measure of the importance of a source that is sensitive to the topics of the query is actually A, can be done, and B, can be shown to be effective over an undifferentiated source rank. And the experimental results seem to suggest that that is actually possible. Okay, so I'll end here, and if there are any questions, I'll take them.
I'm a little behind time, so 2 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Have you thought about running something like a Dirichlet process to get the topic as opposed to...
That's a good idea. In fact, I mean, that's the whole point of... this is the latent model, right? I mean, so it's worth doing that. I mean, we didn't do that, no. That definitely worth doing. I mean, I think the bigger issue is really finding latent factors for both, and then, you know, finding query topics for that. Yes.
Getting a source rank once, an offline, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might happen that over the time, the source might improve their quality or so. So how do you like take care of that?
Well, again, I think the two points. One is Manish's master's thesis is only 1 year long, and so after that, he's not responsible. But more serious point is that really you have to recompute. I mean, you know, Google basically has to recompute its page rank. You know, people, the pages ranks can keep changing, the endorsement structure keeps changing, and so it's not, you know, set in stone. So every once in a while you have to recompute this importance measure. And a formally well-behaved source might start colluding with other sources, and formally ill-behaved source might have, you know, deformed itself and became a model citizen. Okay, so this is very much possible. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, misbehaves means actually that's the most, to me actually the whole point about web into databases is just it opens the box like completely, right? I mean, there's no curator, there's no structure, and anything is possible. And so, for example, in the agreement, the thing that we came closest to is in the case of agreement, if you agree too much, that tells me that there is something wrong with you. I mean, imagine the multiple friends are coming and trying to give you information. If two friends seem to be kind of carbon copies, you tend to start discounting both of them. And that's what you have to capture in these analysis. And the other thing that's very interesting about this whole web scenario to me is relevance is something, and this is probably the one thing that I want you to remember, that relevance is something that if it comes and if a user looks at a result, they can tell whether or not it's supposed to be relevant to them. Okay? Trustworthiness is not something that they will know. So you have to compute it beforehand, and that's what you have to capture.
So, I'm sorry. That they are well behind the time. So let's stop there. Please take everything as offline.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the next talk is on Spring, ranking the results of sparsely queries on big data. And it is a work done by Kunal Malay.